You have your Bibles this morning. Find, if you would, please, the very first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Pastor, Deuteronomy? Yes. It's in the Bible. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I have much to do today with this message, and I'm 100% relying upon the Lord to take us as far as He wants us to go. I will not finish the message this morning. I will finish the message tonight. I would like to let you know that my purpose in preaching this morning is because of a truth that God has outlined for us, but I'm also introducing the book of Deuteronomy, which will be our study on Wednesday nights. We have a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we go through books, and we will take up all 33 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy. It's a fascinating book filled with stories, filled with accounts, filled with truth. This is a book that was written by Moses. This is the fifth book of the Pentateuch, or the law. The word itself means the second law. It really is a rehearsal of the history of the nation of Israel. It's the key word in the book is really the idea of remembering. And so I am going to entitle the series on Wednesday night, Things to Remember. You will find in verse number 1 that this is a book that was narrated by Moses. Verse number 1 said, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab." This is a book that Moses has narrated. And I need you to kind of understand a little bit in our introduction that Moses now is near the end of his life. The nation of Israel has spent their 40 years in the wilderness, and God is getting ready now to move them once again across Jordan into the promised land. I need you to know that Moses is speaking to the second generation that came out of the land of Egypt. The first generation, Moses is going to tell us what happened to them. We know that only two souls that came out of Egypt were allowed to go into the promised land. And the name of those two men was who? One was Joshua, and the other was who? Caleb. We understand that God used them to lead the nation into the promised land. All of the other adults of that generation died in the wilderness. And so as we begin the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking to the second generation. And he's reminding them of where they are and why they are there. He does not want them to forget the moment and the times in which they find themselves. He also wants to be crystal clear as to whose fault it is that they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. And so Moses is speaking to this generation. And there is a truth in this opening chapter that I believe that is practical and applicable for our lives today. And I'm here to challenge you heavily as to God's will for your life, what you're doing with your life. And I believe you'll find this challenge in this book. If you would make your way, please, to verse number 6, I will begin our text. The Bible says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." I want you, if you have a pen or you have a habit of writing in your Bible, I want you to underline that phrase, "ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." Now, this is Moses speaking to this second generation, and he's reminding them that there was a day in their history when God showed up and God had brought them to the Mount Horeb and God had ministered to them in that mount. But God was not finished with them, nor was Mount Horeb to be their final destination. God had a plan for their life. God had a purpose for what he had done in bringing them out of the land of Egypt and going to bring them into the promised land. And God came to the nation and God said to them, "You have dwelt in this mount long enough. It's time to go forward." That phrase captivated me this past week as I've been reading and studying the book. And I could not shake that phrase, "You have dwelt here long enough in this mount." And I thought it would be a great message to begin 2017. You may be like the nation of Israel. You may be in a place in your life where you have dwelt long enough, and it's time for you to leave that place and to move forward. You know it. And God knows it. That's the title of my message. You know it, and God knows it. It may be time now for you to get serious about your spiritual life. You know it, God knows it. You've dwelt long enough in this old position of victory or this mount. It's time now for you to go and do what God would have you to do. Long enough has this relationship not been right with the Lord. Long enough have I harbored bitterness in my soul. Long enough have I not surrendered myself 100% to the Lord. There is something that God has for you, a plan that God has for you, and God has called you to that. But somewhere along the line, you got stagnated and you've spent years now in whatever mount that you're on, and you know you should have moved forward. God knows you should have moved forward, and God is coming to you today, just like he came to the nation of Israel all those years ago, and he's saying, "You've been here long enough, it's time to move on." In this situation, God wanted them to go into the promised land. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. "Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain and the hills and the vale and the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give unto them and to their seed after them." Now, do not lose the context of what is happening. Moses is speaking to the second generation. He's reminding them why they've had to eat dirt for 40 years. He's reminding them why they've been in that dryness. When they breathe that wilderness, thick, dusty air. He's reminding them why they've been without the provision and the blessing of the promised land. And he goes all the way back to their parents. And Moses said, "There was a time when God came to us and God had called us out of the land of Egypt. And God had a promised land. God had a plan for us, and we got stuck on this Mount Horeb. And God came and said, 'You've been here long enough. Now I want you to go forward and do what I've asked you to do, and I want to provide for you this good land.'" It was there. God had a plan. My friend, God has a plan for your life. God didn't bring them out of the land of Egypt so they could walk in a wilderness for 40 years. That was the consequence of their horrible decision. One of the awesome things about the book of Deuteronomy is that we're going to be able to watch God minister and work to the nation of Israel. And we're going to be able to see their successes and their failures. And we now, all these years in the future, will be able to look back and we'll be able to see when God said, "Believe me, trust me, follow me." And we're going to look at their decisions. And sometimes we're going to think, how could they have been so stupid? Or we're going to think, how could they have not seen what God had for them? We can look back and we know how this plan unfolded. We know the suffering and the consequence that they faced based on their decision. They're going through it at this time. And literally, we can sit back and we can say, man, why did they not just believe God? Before you ask that about them, I would say, are you believing God? Are you trusting God? Are you in a place moving forward to the plan that God has for you? Is God saying to you today, my good Christian man, my good Christian woman, is God saying to you, how long are you going to stay in this place? You've been here long enough. You know it. I know it. God would say, it's time to turn and go and do what God would have me to do. It's time to get serious. It's time to surrender. It's time to submit. It's time to take action. When Moses is reminding the nation of this, if you look at verse number 9, he says, I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. And so in verses 10, 11, 12, all the way down to verse number 18, Moses recounts to the nation what he had to do in organizing the nation. Does anybody know how many people went down into Egypt with Jacob? How many went down in the beginning? 70. Bible scholars say 2 million came out. 70, 2 million. Moses understood when they got out there, Moses was the only leader that God had provided for them. Moses had an awesome, brilliant father-in-law who called him an idiot. My father-in-law used that on me a time or two. My mother-in-law is here. And Moses' father-in-law saw Moses trying to lead 2 million people. And he said, boy, you're out of your mind. He said, these people are going to break you down. They're going to crush you. And so Moses' father-in-law told Moses how that he should organize and enable leadership within the nation. And so Moses did that, and he began to break down leadership over thousands and hundreds and fifties, and he organized, he empowered, and he put people in charge. Now, when you give charge or authority or power to people, it can do weird things. You ever had your coworker promoted over you and your loving coworker now turned into the Antichrist? You ever seen somebody get power and they don't know what to do? They feel in charge. Well, the nation, after they had been empowered, began to feel in charge. Now, I want to say something to you. It's very dangerous for you to feel like you're in charge of your life. I would submit to you that no born-again Christian ought to feel like they have charge over their life. My friend, when you got saved, you gave your life to Christ. So what happens, though, is in charge is very empowering. It's very enabling, and men love to be in charge. And sometimes we carry that over into our personal lives. Well, the nation of Israel, as the leadership began to be in charge, it empowered them. Remember, they used to be led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. When God said go, they went. When God said sit, they sat. When God said go to the right, they went to the right. To the left, they went to the left. And they were following the Lord. But now they had some charge in their life. And it was kind of dangerous. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and, what's that word, class? Terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Oh, Kadesh Barnea sticks in the history of Israel as one of the most tragic decisions they ever made. Moses is saying to this second generation, when God came to us and God said, you've been here long enough, get up and go. And we turned ourselves and we made ourselves to the Mount of the Amorites. And he said, don't you remember as we walked in all of that horrible, dry, barren desert wilderness. We sucked in the dust into our nostrils and it crept in everything that we have. Don't you remember how horrible the wilderness was in our experience? Verse number 20. Moses says, I said unto you, you are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be what? Discouraged. Moses knew what discouragement would do to the heart of God's people. I hope you're not here today with a discouraged heart. I hope that you're not here with fear gripping you as to God's plan for your life. My friend, do not let fear and discouragement keep you from doing what God would have you to do. Moses understood that God had called them and the land was before them and he's encouraging them. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. They turned and they went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. They took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, now don't miss this, get it to me. It is a, what's that word, class? Good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. By the way, let me just stop and say, if you agree with me, our God is good and he's good all the time. God brought them out of a hell hole in Egypt. God brought them, which is a picture of being saved. He brought them out of the bondage of Egypt and he delivered them miraculously by his great hand. And it was in the heart of our good God to bring them out and to take them in to the promised land. And God had a good land waiting for them. I am amazed at how many people do not believe that God is good. I am amazed at how many Christian people do not believe that God's plans for them are good. I am amazed at how the goodness of God is questioned in our lives. My friends, our God is good, and you can trust him with your life. And they had evidence of it in their hands. They brought back those spies. They brought back the fruit. They brought back the report of that good land. It was right there. Verse number 26. Moses said, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents, and you said, because the Lord, what are those two words? Hated us. Hated us. Pastor, my life is such a mess. God must hate me. They had that opinion that God hated them. Verse number 27 says that they thought that he brought them forth out of the land to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to be destroyed. Pastor, I tried to serve the Lord. It didn't work out too well. Pastor, I was faithful. I did what God wanted me to do, and then all these problems came into my life, and it was unfair, all the risk and all the consequence that I suffered, all the opportunities that I took, and God wanted me to do this, and in the beginning, I did it. But you know what? He didn't keep his bargain. Matter of fact, I got to the point where I didn't even think God cared about me, knew about me, and Pastor, if you really looked at my life, you would think that God would hate me. I got news for you. God loved you enough, he died for you. God doesn't hate you. God didn't create you to have a miserable life. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. One that will thrill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Moses wants the nation of Israel to understand when God brought them out of Egypt, God had a plan to take them into the promised land. And God ministered to them. And there came a point in their time when they had just stayed on this mountain. And God came to them and God said, now listen, I know it and you know it. You've been here long enough. It's time to go do what I want you to do. And so they made their way to the Amorites there. And then they sent in those spies. And those spies went in and they spied out the land. And they saw danger in that land. They saw giants in that land. They saw goodness in that land. But they couldn't get over the difficulties and the trials and the tests. They couldn't get over those giants. And so they brought back this evil report of the land. And when this evil report came back, it discouraged their heart. Look, if you would, at verse number 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall, what class? Fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Oh, these people were so discouraged by this report. They were so discouraged by what they thought to be difficulties and trials in the way. A couple of things that a discouraged heart will do. A discouraged heart will never remember God's past faithfulness. I'm going to say that again. A discouraged heart will never remember God's past faithfulness. A discouraged heart will only see future problems. A discouraged heart will only care about its own survival. And a discouraged heart will be filled with pity, complaining, and murmuring. And it will be everybody else's fault that your life stinks. But it won't be your fault. I want to tell you something. Don't you dare blame God for our stinking lives. He's perfect. And so God got them to the brink of that land. And the report came back. And the report was, it's too much for me, Lord. We can't handle that. It's too dangerous over there. And the whole time, God is just looking at them and thinking, I'm not asking you to go over there and fight. I'm going to fight for you. I'm not asking this to be about you. I will take care of you. I'm not asking this to be about your strength or your ability. You understand? I need you to do one thing and one thing only. Verse number 32. Yet in this thing ye did not, what class? Believe the Lord your God. What was wrong with the nation of Israel? They didn't believe God. I ask you a question. Do you believe God? If so, say amen. Amen. But I think God's after Plantation Baptist Church today. And I think that God is after the mindset and the heart that's been discouraged because the way is difficult. And I think God is after the heart that hasn't trusted the Lord to do what God wants them to do. Somewhere in your life, you're sitting at a point and you've been there a long time. And somehow you've gotten comfortable with that point. Probably you got comfortable there because you're scared out of your mind. All throughout the law and all throughout the book of Joshua and all throughout this conquest here, God kept telling the nation, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be strong. Go forward. Now, you and I, we have the Word of God. Amen? So we step back and we look at the nation and we're over here reading what they're doing and we're on the sideline saying, don't be afraid. Trust Him. No, go. Listen, if you speak to the rock, it'll give you water. If you step into that water, it's going to part. Man, if you walk around those buildings, that wall's coming down. I read about it. I know about it. There's no reason to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust Him. And the nation said, mm-mm. And at Kadesh Barnea, they said, forget you, God. Now we stand over here and we say, how could you be so foolish? Look what happened. 40 years in the wilderness. You never saw the promise of God. So I would say to you, God's got a plan for your life. It's awesome. You can trust Him. And most people get stagnated in their life because they get scared out of their mind. And the same God that was with the nation of Israel is our God today. And He's telling you, don't be afraid. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not wealthy enough to go do that. He doesn't need your wealth. Pastor, I'm not strong enough or smart enough. I just don't think I can do that. God said, I don't need you to do that. I need you to believe me. Just believe me. Trust me and go forward. I'll fight for you. I'll provide for you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I will never forsake you. I will never be found to be weak. I will never be found to be faultless. Matter of fact, here's how I'll care for you. Look, if you would, at verse 31. And in the wilderness, Moses said, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bear thee as a man doth bear his, what class? His son. And all the way that you went until you came into this place. Moses is saying to this second generation, man, when you look back over these 40 years, you will see that God cared for us the way a father would care for his son. If God is your heavenly Father, would you say amen? Amen. You a child of the living God? Then God can care for you. Pastor, I got hurt real bad serving the Lord. Welcome to the club. Pastor, I suffered. Welcome to the club. Pastor, it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. Welcome to the club. Pastor, I just don't think I could ever handle that again. Yeah. So something happened in your life, and you sat your blessed assurance on your mountain, and you haven't moved. And God's coming to you today, and God's saying, you've been here long enough. That's right. You know it, and I know it. Now get up. Believe me. Follow me. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me care for you like a father would care for his boy. And I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. But you got to believe me. Maybe you're here today. It's time to get serious with your spiritual life. You know it and God knows it. It's time. You got to believe the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you got a relationship that needs fixed real bad and it's your fault and you know it and God knows it. It's time to go forward. Maybe God's calling you to full-time service. You know it. God knows it. You're scared out of your mind. God says, you've been sitting here for 30 years. Get up, boy, and go do what I want you to do. Maybe you know for sure that God has something He wants you to do, and you don't think that you're able to do it. Well, let me tell you something. That's a great place to start because you're not able to do it. but God is able. And Moses is telling this second generation, your mom and dad had their chance. And God came to us and God said, you've been here too long. Turn. Let me give to you the good things that I have provided for you. And at Kadesh Barnea, when those people came back with that report, they said, there ain't no way in the world we're going to do what God wants us to do. And then God said, okay, then turn yourself around and walk in that desert for 40 years. To me, that's a regrettable decision. Maybe God's coming to you today with an opportunity, one opportunity to do what he wants you to do. Or you're just going to say, no. And God may say, okay, then live your life. Now, I got news for you. You can make all the money in the world. You can live the most awesome life in the world you think. But if you don't have the blessing of God within your heart and soul, you have nothing. Nothing. You've been here long enough. Why don't you believe me and go forward to what I'd have for you to do? That's what God wanted the nation of Israel to do. They made a horrible decision. Tonight I'll show you how they tried to rectify this decision and they got themselves killed. They got themselves killed. Two wrongs don't make a right. Maybe you need to surrender. Are you the person God is saying, I know it and you know it. You've been here long enough. Let's do what God wants you to do. Shall we pray?